business. Our first item of old business is subdivision 2021-23, Stillwater Harbor.
All right, everybody, buckle up. So I have a motion for you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
I move that we deny subdivision number 2021-23 for Stillwater Harbor based on the county code, the record made during the public hearing, and for the following reasons. One, it is undisputed that this project is located in one of the most ecologically important areas of Sussex County. It is across River Road from Indian River, which according to our comprehensive plan has sensitive characteristics which help to absorb floodwaters and provide extensive habitat for native flora and fauna. This area also has a significant impact upon water quality within the adjacent bays and inlets, as well as upon the region's various habitats. One of the core objectives of the future land use element of our plan is to protect critical natural resources such as the inland bays and the others by guarding against overdevelopment. Two, there are several primary concerns about this application, and each of them received a lot of attention. They include the impact of the subdivision upon the landscape and surrounding area, its access onto River Road, and the conditions of that roadway, and the so-called emergency access easement proposed to utilize a private easement known as Jackson Drain Lane. Three, there was a lot of testimony in opposition to this application. While much of what was stated during the public hearing and in written information is relevant, subdivisions are not popularity contests. They have to be decided based upon the appropriate factors and the record before the commission. In this case, the record does not support the approval of this particular subdivision. Four, section 99-17B of Sussex County Zoning Code states that the access to the subdivision shall be from a public highway having a width of at least 50 feet, and the number and location of access streets shall be controlled for traffic safety and protection of surrounding properties. According to the site plan submitted by the applicant, the width of the River Road right-of-way varies. The applicant's engineer testified that the existing right-of-way is currently only 46 feet wide at the proposed entrance to this development. This requirement of the subdivision code cannot be satisfied. Five, section 99-9C of the Sussex County Code states that the approval of a subdivision shall include consideration of the following. Provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways, and the effect on area roadways and public transportation. As I will describe momentarily, I have considered those factors and others in section 99-9C, and they support a denial of this subdivision. Six, it is undisputed that River Road floods in the general location of the proposed entrance to this subdivision. It's also undisputed that when it floods, River Road can be inaccessible for long periods of time. A, this flooding and the effects of it was confirmed by the Indian River Fire Company's various letters stating that the entrance is located near two significant areas of roadway tidal flooding on River Road, which would preclude successful passage during these tidal conditions for their prospective property owners within Stillwater Harbor. B, this flooding and the effects of it was also confirmed in DENREC's Oak Orchard Coastal Drainage Engineering Evaluation, which is Exhibit 11 of the applicant's exhibit book. The evaluation summarized the issue this way. Changes in development and the natural environment have intensified flooding issues for the community. In particular, residential and commercial areas have been built in the community over several decades, resulting in an increase in impervious area and therefore an increase in flooding frequency from localized runoff for several of the areas. Residential properties and roads also flood regularly because of local runoff, because of stormwater drainage and transportation infrastructure that is undersized or in disrepair. The evaluation also states that drainage deficiencies included undersized or non-existent storm drain systems that require maintenance and low ground surface elevations. These deficiencies result in problems such as localized flooding, backwater flooding from the inland marsh, or coastal inundation directly from Indian River Bay. C, the flooding and effects of it was also referenced in Exhibit B of the DENREC evaluation, which stated that River Road and Chief Road and the properties that are nearby flood frequently, flooding observed during 2 days of field work. It states that the area west of the Chief Road intersection floods several times a year. Photographs of the flooding were provided as Appendix C of the evaluation. D, this flooding and the effects of it was also confirmed by undisputed testimony from several residents of the immediate area that flooding occurs so regularly that the local school district has a programmed call to all local student families advising that River Road is impassable for school buses and that children must be picked up at the fire hall because the bus routes cannot get to individual homes. E, this flooding and the effects of it was also confirmed by several area residents who spoke in opposition to the application and testified about firsthand knowledge of the regular occurrence of flooding that makes River Road impassable. They described regular occurrences of having to park their own cars at remote locations such as the local fire hall to avoid flooding, with transportation only to their homes by pickup trucks and SUVs. F, and finally, this flooding and the effects of it was also confirmed by the Indian River Fire Company's decision to not object to the application with an entrance to River Road only because a necessary and separate emergency access was proposed. G, unfortunately, as stated during the hearing testimony and as confirmed by the Indian River Volunteer Fire Company, these deficiencies for the most part remain outstanding with no corrective action for any remedy in the designated area of this proposed subdivision. H, as a result of the regular flooding that occurs on River Road, the subdivision does not comply with Section 99-9C or 99-17B of the Subdivision Code. 7, this section of River Road is narrow and low-lying with admittedly non-existent or inadequate drainage. The proposed entrance is in close proximity to the intersection with Chiefs Road, and there is video and photographic evidence in the record that major flooding occurs there. It is not 50 feet wide as required by code. DelDOT has stated that it expects the developer to be required to make approximately 900 feet of roadway improvements to accommodate this project. These improvements run a distance of approximately 600 feet west of the entrance and 240 feet east of it. This also includes widening the travel lanes to 11 feet in each direction plus 5-foot shoulders. This does not even take into account the drainage features required on either side of the shoulders nor Denrec's direction to raise the entire roadbed 1 to 2 feet and potentially install bulkheading. The development only has approximately 120 feet of frontage along River Road, which is not enough to accommodate these improvements. There is not sufficient right-of-way available to allow a safe entrance to the development. Many residents stated that they were opposed to any efforts by this applicant or DelDOT to acquire portions of their land by easement or fee simple to accommodate this development's entrance. As a result, this development should be denied because there would not be safe vehicular or pedestrian access to it. 8. The applicant places a significant emphasis on the availability of access to John Drain Lane. This is in recognition that the development should not otherwise be approved with a single access to River Road, as confirmed on several occasions by the Indian River Volunteer Fire Company. There are multiple reasons why this reliance upon John Drain Lane cannot support an approval of this subdivision. A, to begin with, John Drain Lane is effectively a narrow dirt and gravel driveway. It's not an improved road right-of-way of any sort. B, although the access to John Drain Lane was described as being limited to emergency uses, the record confirms that the use of it would occur frequently due to the regular closures of River Road. John Drain Lane would effectively become the primary means of access to the development during regular flooding events when River Road is impassable. The applicant has stated that the easement would be controlled by not only first responders, but also the development's HOA. This is stated in proposed condition K supplied by the applicant. When River Road floods, that means that potentially 1,258 vehicles per day could be using John Drain Lane because they cannot get out of the main entrance to the development. C, even if the owners of lots within this subdivision had legitimate access to John Drain Lane, it is not capable of handling potentially 1,258 vehicles per day. It is undisputed that John Drain Lane is currently an 8 to 12 foot wide dirt or sand and gravel road with potholes and varying levels of repair. The applicant did not outline any improvements to the road nor provide evidence that it has the authority to make sufficient improvements to it. This does not even take into account improvements necessary for the lane to handle heavy emergency or emergency apparatus, especially in inclement weather when the already bad conditions of the lane would be worsened. D, the property where this subdivision is to be located, which is Sussex County Tap Map and Parcel Number 243-34-79, does not itself have access to John Drain Lane. Parcel 79 and the owners of it are not parties to the easement agreement for John Drain Lane. from the face of the easement, which is included in the record as Exhibit 20 of the applicant's exhibit book, it was only intended for use by the properties and owners identified in it. Easement agreement did not contemplate that such a separate parcel would be subdivided into 123 lots, with each of those lots having access to the easement. The other properties that do have rightful access to John Drain Lane did not sign up for such an intensive use of their easement by other property owners who were never part of the easement agreement in the first place. E, each of the property owners who has access to John Drain Lane and testified against the applicant stated that they opposed the use of the easement for any sort of access to the Stillwater Harbor development. They testified that the reasons for this opposition included their belief that the development has no right to access the private easement, that the existing dirt road is incapable of handling the heavy EMS equipment and additional traffic that would occur, and other factors, period. There is no compelling reason why the county should impose a significant burden upon the existing users of John Drain Lane by approving this subdivision with a mandatory condition requiring access to the lane when the land that is the subject of this application was never part of the easement to begin with. This is also an entirely different situation from interconnectivity between adjacent subdivisions where both roadways are paved and built to Sussex County road standards and dedicated to public use. Here, John Drain Lane is an off-site private easement that is merely a dirt driveway. F, for all these reasons, John Drain Lane is not a suitable, viable, or legal means of secondary access to this subdivision. B, wait a minute. Sorry. That leaves only the primary entrance of River Road, which the Indian River Volunteer Fire Company has acknowledged cannot safely be the sole means of access to the development. 9, given the undisputed flooding and access issues via River Road, an approval of this subdivision with the sole point of access from River Road would be harmful to the health, safety, and welfare of the future residents of the development. For example, Sussex County paramedics, state police, and or local fire companies would not be able to get to lots within the development during a flood event. Conversely, residents would not be able to evacuate the area in a severe weather event or even leave the development for a personal health emergency or other important reasons. While less significant, the inaccessibility would impact more mundane services such as the Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, and Amazon, and even daily conveniences such as food delivery and passenger service businesses. 10, the comprehensive plan's conservation element notes that the county has developed a hazard mitigation plan in response to the damaging effects of not only severe weather, but also flooding that is occurring more regularly in the low-lying coastal areas of Sussex County like this location. The plan directs the county to protect residents from the impacts of flooding as it makes land use decisions. Here, there is no dispute that this area floods. The county should not put new residents in jeopardy by approving this subdivision in a location where flooding already occurs. It would make a bad situation worse. 11, I am also not satisfied that the applicant has adequately addressed the items set forth in Section 99-9C of the Sussex County Subdivision Code. A, I do not believe that this project is integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The property includes a tidal branch and a lot of tidal and federal wetlands. There is a substantial drop in elevation between the lots and cul-de-sacs and these environmentally sensitive areas. On top of that, the design of the development proposes substantial tree removal right along the upper edge of the topographic drop-off to the wetlands and branch below. The applicant has not satisfactorily addressed how the tree removal and soil disturbance at the top of this natural grade change will not adversely impact the wetlands and tidal branch below. As our comprehensive plan has recognized, it is areas exactly like this that must be protected to maintain and improve the water quality in our inland bays. B, for the same reason, I do not believe that this project has adequately addressed the preservation of natural features. Although the applicant's response to item 3 of section 99-9C is that the roadway system, stormwater features, and lots were designed in such a way to minimize impacts, disturbance of steep slopes, the applicant has not sufficiently shown how this is accomplished. This is particularly the case when in several instances the cul-de-sacs, roadways, and lots are proposed immediately next to the top of these steep slopes, with the resulting tree and vegetation removal at the very top of the slope that will likely destabilize the slope and damage the sensitive areas below. C, I do not believe that the applicant has adequately addressed the minimization of tree, vegetation, soil removal, and grade plans. In the PLUS report on this project, Denrick has stated that this project is located on one of the last remaining parcels of large contiguous forest in the frequently flooded Oak Orchard area. Removal of the forest lands risks increased flooding drainage issues for residents, existing and new, increased nutrient input into the inland bays, and significant habitat loss for migratory birds. This concern was further expressed by the Secretary of the Department of Agriculture in his letter of April 20th, 2023, wherein he stated that the Delaware Department of Agriculture opposes the Stillwater Harbor development currently under review. The loss of the riparian forest and wetlands will be substantial, potentially increasing flooding and inland bays pollution. It is a certainty that the removal of one of the most extensive tracts of forested land in that area will have devastating impacts on drainage for current and future residents. A significant amount of deforestation is proposed for this site. In fact, approximately 78% of the existing forest is proposed to be removed. The applicant has stated that many of these trees started growing in the 1990s, and the land was farmed before that. I do not find that to be a compelling reason to justify the removal of these trees in this environmentally sensitive area. Every forest in Sussex County had to start at some point. This is a greater concern in an environmentally important location like this, a unique one in Sussex County with a tidal branch and tidal and federal wetlands that drain right into our inland bays. Tree vegetation and soil removed should be limited to the fullest extent possible, and the applicant has not demonstrated that has looked at every design alternative that would mitigate this. Instead, it is apparent from the proposed site plan that the applicant has simply tried to maximize the lot yield given the geometry and topography of the site. D, I'm not satisfied that the prevention of surface and groundwater pollution or the minimization of erosion and sedimentation, changes to groundwater levels, or increased rates of runoff have been addressed. For the reasons I have mentioned, this site will be substantially disturbed if this development is approved. I do not believe that the applicant has adequately shown how that disturbance at the very top of the steep bank next to the wetlands and tidal branch will not have an adverse impact on the water quality of that branch or the inland bays that it feeds into. This concern was specifically mentioned in the Denrec evaluation that explained that development like this in this area causes an increase in impervious area and therefore an increase in flooding frequency from localized runoff. Groundwater issues are already bad in this area because of local runoff due to stormwater drainage and transportation infrastructure that is undersized or in disrepair. The applicant has not addressed how this project will avoid this documented existing problem and not make it worse. E, I've already mentioned how this project, with the documented deficiencies of River Road, does not provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways, so I will not reiterate those issues. It is sufficient to state that it is undisputed that River Road is currently deficient in its condition now and it floods frequently. DelDOT, Denrec, and the local fire company all agree at this point. This project does not provide for a safe entrance, and the problematic proposal to have access to John Drain Lane by first responders and the vehicles of this subdivision does not satisfy this requirement. Given all these limitations and the limited measures proposed to overcome them, this project does not provide for safe and continuous access to the site. F, I'm not satisfied that the project has considered its effect on schools. This factor uniquely applies to this subdivision, since it is not the potential number of new students that is at issue, but instead the ability of those new students to get to and from their schools in flooding events. There was undisputed testimony in the record that River Road floods so frequently that the local school district has an auto call programmed to call existing residents during flood events about alternate pickup and drop off locations for the children who are bused. Apparently, the alternative location is the local fire hall. This is a safety concern that currently exists, and it should not be made worse by approving another development with more school children who cannot be picked up and dropped off at their regular location because of frequent weather events that make the nearby roads impassable. And number 12, for all these reasons, I move that we deny subdivision number 2021-23 for Stillwater Harbor.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to deny subdivision 2021-23 Stillwater Harbor. Mr. Mears, how do you vote?
I vote yes to deny based on the rock solid reasons and conditions stated in the motion that was developed from public testimony and agency opinions.
Okay, Ms. Wingate?
I vote yes to deny for all the reasons stated in the motion and specific concerns with the lack of access to the development because of the flooding on River Road and particularly the emergency personnel.
Just to be clear, Ms. Wingate, you're voting in favor of the motion to deny?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I say that wrong?
I'm not sure, but I want to make sure that's clear in the record.
I vote yes to the motion to deny for the reasons stated in the motion and because I've stood in that water. I know how bad it is. So, yeah, this is one of those places where if we were to allow this as it's written or as it's presented now, we'd someday somebody say, who let that happen?
Indeed. Mr. Hopkins?
I recuse myself.
Okay. All right. And the chair votes in favor of the motion for the reasons stated in the motion, and most especially because the obvious flooding concern and the insufficiency of the easement and any other access to the site. It just is not good land use. And the motion carries 4-0 with Mr. Hopkins abstaining. All right, our next item is